Blog Talk Radio.
Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church. Oh, get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Gotta go home, yeah. Get right, church. Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. I'm going home on the morning train, yeah. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home, oh, home. Oh, I'm going home on the morning train. Look, Julian, I'm going home on the morning train. Yes, I am. I'm going home, yeah. I'm going home on the morning train. Listen, one of these mornings and it won't be long. You look for me and I'll be gone. I'm to heaven just to jump and shout. Nobody there's gonna put me out. Get to heaven, gonna put on my shoes. Walk around heaven and tell the news. I know my robe is gonna fit me well, cause I tried it on at the gates of hell. And if you don't believe I've been redeemed, you can follow me down by the Jordan stream. I'm gonna look up, David, in the heat of the day, and then tune, 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 tune my heart and begin to lay. When I get to heaven, gonna jump and shout, Lord, jump and shout, Lord, jump and shout, Lord. Talking about a good time. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. You better get right. You better get right. It's later than you think. It's later than you think. You better get right. You better get right. Right, right. You better get right. Get right. You better get right. Get right, church. And let's go home.
Good evening and welcome to Wednesday night Bible study with Pastor Brooks of the New Birth Congregation. We thank God for this Wednesday night, another day that the Lord has blessed, and certainly we are glad to be in the land of those who are still living, those who are still struggling, those who are still following the Word of God. Thanks for again for joining us on this Wednesday night, and we'll look forward to continuing to come to you on Wednesday night here throughout the rest of the year. The Lord has been good to us. The Lord has certainly blessed us. But there is tragedy all around us. There is, well, there's just a continuation of life and even death. Death is just a part of life. We come into this world and we certainly leave this world. I want to ask that you all be praying for my wife's family. She lost her aunt. She passed yesterday, and the funeral will take place April the 14th. And just continue to pray one for another. Matter of fact, let us open up here with a word of prayer at this point. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us to be here in the house, in here worshiping you. We thank you for blessing us on this week and allowing us to come together on this night. Dear Lord, we ask that you would meet every need according to your riches and glory. We ask that you would strengthen us. We ask that you would keep us. We ask that you would bless us. Open up our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our understanding as we study your word tonight. Bless us. Give us increase. Give us favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight, excuse me, this is allergy season for me, dealing with allergies this time of year. But thank God for blessing us anyhow. Tonight, we'll begin a study in the book of Revelations, which, for the next few weeks. We'll be starting here tonight, looking at the beginning of the book of Revelation in the second chapter, the messages to the churches. And tonight we're going to look at the first church that is mentioned, and that church is the church at Ephesus. And thank God as we got ready to work this evening, ran off and left my iPad, and so I don't have every what I usually preach with. As this day and time now, I usually use my iPad because as I get older, I can take the iPad and manipulate the print on the screen, and I can make it a little bit larger. But tonight I'm going to be using my Bible, and this Bible I'm using, New King James Version. Let's look here. Scripture coming from the book of Revelation, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. It says, "To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now we look here in Revelation, the second chapter. The Apostle John, while he was exiled on Patmos, he had this revelation. He had this vision that God had given him. And here he sees Christ. And Christ begins to show him some things and tells him to write the things which you have seen. You're going to show him some things. And everything that you see, you're not going to understand. Everything that you see, you're not going to necessarily be able to properly describe it, because there are some things that you're going to see that you are not familiar with. You're going to see things into the future, and in the future there will be inventions. Mankind will move from carts, and he will have motorized transportation. He'll move from traveling on the ground, and you'll see him traveling in the air and even in the outer space. You'll see him living in different parts of the world, living in different housing. You'll even see him living in outer space as we do now with our International Space Station. They send astronauts up and they live there for months at a time, and then send up a shuttle or another rocket device, and it will drop off supplies, and crew members will exchange places, and they will continue to perform the missions that they have there on the space station. You'll see things that you have never seen. You'll see things that look like locusts, and you'll see things that look like animals and shapes of animals, but they really won't be these things, but you'll describe them as best that you can. And so he starts in sending this message to the churches. And notice that Jesus did not send this revelation to the world. He sent it to the church. This message to the believers, so that the believers, those who are redeemed, those who are called by God's name, those who are children of God, may be able to understand where we are, understand what we are doing, understand what we need to do, what action we need to do, what correction we need to make in our lives, so that we can be pleasing to God. There, and Jesus spoke in the book of Matthew, talking about when he would come back, and he mentioned about how he would separate the sheep from the goats, and he mentioned how some would say, "Did not we do this in your name?" People put in the goat line, thinking that they should be in the sheep line, and crying out, "Did not I preach in your name? Did not I teach in your name? Did not we do this in your name?" But Jesus said he would tell those who were in the goat line, rather, those who he refers to as the goats, "Depart from me, for I know you not." He said, "Your works, the things, your motivation, what you were doing, it was of iniquity." And certain we see this in the church even today. Works of iniquity. People are not doing for God because they love God. You see them so often doing for God because they want something from God. They are looking for material blessing, material wealth, material gain, fame, fortune. Want to look good, want to look popular or whatever. And just not doing things for the sake of the kingdom of God. So we see this type of thing happening even as we speak. So when Jesus was laying out this message to these seven churches, he would name a particular church, particular congregation. He would tell them about their condition, how they are, what is going on. And he would sort of make a verdict and, yeah, I see the evidence. And now let me give you a verdict as to whether you are in my will or outside my will. Then he would give a command to the church. And even after giving a command to this particular church, then he would give an exhortation, and it would be not directly simply to the church whom he has addressed, but it would be directed to all Christians. So we can look at what he says at Ephesus, and we have to apply these things to us. And at the end, Jesus would always give a promise of a reward. So we're not just in this floating alone, but God has promised us great blessings if we are willing to do his will. And here he talks to the church at Ephesus. And Ephesus was a famous city, a big city, large city. In Ephesus, the Apostle Paul was there for 3 years. He also mentioned in the book of Acts, meeting up with Aquila and Priscilla. Here in Ephesus, Ephesus was also a place where he left Timothy there. Timothy ministered. And you look at 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and you see these strong exhortations that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy. Understand, Timothy was in a very evil place. He's in a place where it was religious, but it was evil. In Ephesus, they had this huge temple that was dedicated to the goddess Diana. And goddess Diana was their fertility goddess. And she was quite popular. She was quite popular. And the reason she was quite popular, she was linked with fertility. And one of the ways that they supported and worshipped her so that she would bless their crops and bless what they were trying to do is that they worshipped her with sex. In other words, you would have temple prostitutes, and you would come in and you sleep with the temple prostitutes and these who have dedicated their lives to worshiping and serving Diana. You would come and you'd have sex, and you would go through all of these satanic devices. And this would bring forth, as they rationalized, that would bring forth blessings to them. How did they come about that? Well, the devil comes and plants in our minds all types of thoughts, all types of reasonings, and we hear these spirits speaking to us. And most times, people will hear the enemy speak and say they heard God speak. No, you did not really hear the God of heaven spoke. You heard a God speak. And if you begin to worship and listen to these things become your God, your small G-O-D. And so these spirits of Satan, these emissaries of Satan would come and they would teach these damnable doctrines to man, and man would grab hold to these things, and he would rationalize that these were the things that God had for man. These were secret mysteries that God was showing man. And they would go and do these things, even though they were in violation of the Word of God. And sometimes, and we live in this society today, that we still will do things in the name of God that are a direct violation of God's Word. And sometimes it looks like as though we have this mentality, this idea, this feeling that as long as I'm doing it in God's name, God will accept it, God has to accept it, and God is going to honor my effort, my work, whether it is in line with His Word or not. And then you have others who just don't care, they're not followers of God, but just doing things that the enemy would have them to do. Notice what Jesus said here in verse 1. When he gives an introduction of himself, he says, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks, the golden lampstands." Jesus is letting the church know that it is him. It is he. The church does not belong to the congregation. The church does not belong to the preacher. The church does not belong to the denomination. The church does not belong to the affiliation. The church belongs to Jesus. Jesus said, asked Peter and other disciples one day, "Who do men say that I am?" They went on to relay the popular opinions that people were saying who Jesus was. Some were relating him to be Elijah. Some were relating to him to be Moses. Some were relating him to be the one who Moses was talking about. And so they had different ideas of who Jesus was. And then Jesus asked them, "Well, who do you, my disciples, who do you say that I am?" And he put their heads together, and Peter spoke for the group, said that thou art the Christ, that you are the Son of God. And then Jesus said to Peter and the other disciples that flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, said, "But my Father which is in heaven." And he told Peter, said, "Up on this rock I will build my church." And the rock he was referring to was not Peter, but the confession of faith, the understanding of who Christ is. He said, "Up on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So if the church belongs to Christ, and so Christ wants his house, he wants the people who are laboring in his name to be doing the will of the Father. Now notice, we go to verse 2. Jesus says this to the church. He says this: "I know your works. I know what you have been doing. I know what's going on. Nothing is hidden from me. I know your works. You notice he didn't say, "I know your good works." He said, "I know your works." So in other words, Jesus knows the good as well as the bad that we may have going on in our congregation. We can hide it. The trustee board may hide it from the congregation. The deacon board may hide it from the congregation. The pastoral board may hide it from the deacon board. And the mother board may hide it from the trustees. And all these different boards that we implement. And there may be things that are going on that's not right, things that are corrupt. And we can hide these things from one another. But guess what? There's nothing that we can hide from the Lord. So Jesus said, "I know your works. I know your good works. I know your works that are not so good. I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. I also know that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And so the church at Ephesus, being in an ungodly city, one of the good things that they were doing, that they were testing people who came preaching in the name of the Lord, because they were dealing with so much evil, so much corruption, that when people came with a message from God, they were testing and making sure that these people were actually God's people. But do we do that today? We go from, in our society, especially in the black church, you know, we go from the gutter to the pulpit. We'll be in the gutter. Be in the gutter the first of the month and get saved the second week of the month. You put on a pair of pants and a necktie and say you were called to preach the third week in the month, and they'll let you preach your trial sermon the fourth week of the month. So here they were trying people, making sure that these people were really sent by God. Everyone that claims that they're sent by God is not sent by God. Scripture said, Jesus said, what? You shall know the tree by what? The fruit that it bears. So that an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit, neither will a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit. So they did not like people who were evil. They did not like those who were just evil. They would run them off. And they were testing these who were saying they were apostles, making sure that they were actually apostles. One of the qualifications to be called an apostle, you had to see Christ, had to see Jesus. And a lot of times, these people who were coming, finding out that they were never in the area where Jesus was, they did not see Jesus, but they saw the other apostles and they saw the title that they had. They saw the respect that some of them were given. They saw some power with the apostles of God. And so men began to appropriate that title, and they would go to the churches that had been established and they would declare apostleship. And by declaring apostleship, they would stay in these areas and preach, and some of them would try to change the doctrine or the teachings that the true apostles had taught according to the scripture and taught according to the word that Jesus had given. And they would try to promote their spin and their way of doing things and try to corrupt the true teaching of God. And they would come and they would say, well, Paul didn't know what he was talking about. Paul had it partially right. John did not have a full understanding. And these people who call themselves apostles would try to circumvent the gospel and try to manipulate the people into believing that which was not sound doctrine. But here, the church at Ephesus, they understood. Now, we live in a wicked community. We live in a wicked city. We got people who are doing temple prostitution. We have people who are worshiping Diana. We have people who are worshiping all the other deities, gods and goddesses. We have people performing witchcraft. We have people who are emissaries of Satan. And so they were careful. Who are we going to listen to? Let's make sure that these are really men of God. The scripture even admonishes us to do that. It says what? Know them that labor among you. In other words, know them. Be familiar with them. Not that you know their name and that you know that they claim to be this and that, but know their lifestyle. Know them. In other words, check out their background. Make sure you have people who are coming and they'll try to preach to you and they'll try to steal from you. They'll try to sleep with you. They'll try to do everything that the Word of God says not to do, but they'll say they're doing it in the name of Jesus. So Jesus said, you test these who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And if the church would test the ones who are claiming apostleship today, I'm sure most we'd find that most of them are liars. They haven't seen Christ. You have persevered and have patience, but you have people they claim they've seen Christ, they've seen the angels, they've seen God, they've seen demons, they talk to the angels, they talk to the demons, they talk to all these angelic creatures. But when they are teaching, the teaching is contrary to the Word of God. Scripture tells us if any comes teaching another doctrine that we have not taught you, that you are not to receive it. Even if the angels come teaching a doctrine that you have not, that we have not taught, don't receive that. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. And so here was a congregation who was working for God and hadn't, and still had vigor, hadn't fainted, still working hard, still laboring for God. Great things. But then in verse 4, Jesus says this: nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Oh, he says, you have left your first love. You notice Jesus did not say that you have lost your first love, but he says you have left your first love. When you lose something, guess what? You've accidentally misplaced it, and you don't know where you misplaced it. Many times I lose my phone because I really don't get, I get very few phone calls. Not where I work, I'm not able to receive phone calls because I'm teaching at school. Most communication I get is through text message. So I'm at school, I have my ringer off. I get out of school, I don't think about turning my ringer on. Only time my ringer really gets turned on is maybe on Sunday. And so with my phone, I don't really have a need for it as others do. I'm not really attached to my phone. And so sometimes I will put my phone down and just forget where I put it. My phone is black, my case is black, and the seats in my truck are black, the carpet is black. The structure, the support for the seat supports, all of that is black. And sometimes my phone will fall in the crack, and it'll fall up under the truck, under the seat rather, than fall behind those black supports. And many times I'll go looking in the same spot five or six times, a period of 2 or 3 days in the same spot, but never able to really see my phone. And but I have lost it, and just really don't know where I lost it. You know how we do. We lose our keys, and we lose things, and but it's always by accident. As we get older, we just take things and we put them, and we know we have left them somewhere. Then we have to go through the process of retracing our steps. And sometimes we can find what we have lost in a short period of time, then the other times that it takes a while for us to find them. But Jesus was telling the church that you have not lost your first love. You have not misplaced it, but you have left your first love. In other words, you made a conscious decision to leave it where it is. You walked away from it. Like when we stop going to church, we just make a conscious decision. I'm not going to go this week. I'm not going to go this week. And the more you avoid church, the easier it becomes to avoid church. And so with the church of Ephesus, they had left their first love. And when they had left their first love, their love begins to do what? It begins to become lukewarm. Then it eventually turns cold. It turns hard. And we have to be careful about leaving the things that we love. We leave our spouses. Same thing will happen. We'll go through the same process, and we always have to be careful that we don't leave that which we love. But notice that the church, Jesus said that you've left your first love, but he earlier said they were working. They were constantly working. They had never stopped working, but they had left their first love. So just because you are doing kingdom work does not mean that you have a good connection with God. In other words, you are doing things that are right, but that doesn't mean that you really love God. You can be married to a spouse, and yes, you go to work 5 days a week, yes. You bring your paycheck home. No, you don't spend your check on other women. You don't have 2 or 3 different families. Yes, you take your check and you pay the bills in the house. Yes, you take your check. You put food on the table. Yes, you clothe everybody with your check. But just because you work, bring your check home, and take care of business, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a deep, compassionate love for your family. It just means that you recognize that you do have an obligation, and you're going to take care of your obligation. And sometimes that's what happens with us. As God's people, we recognize that we do have an obligation. We have an obligation to the kingdom of God. We have an obligation to treat one another right. We have an obligation to assemble on a Sunday morning. We have an obligation to give into the ministry. We have an obligation to help our fellow man. We have an obligation to do this and that. But we are maybe going and operating off of obligation rather than motivation, because that we love God and we are still in love with him. So Jesus was telling that the church at Ephesus that you have left your first love. You left your love of God. You're a working church. You are laboring hard. You haven't gone to crazy doctrine. You're still holding on to the true word of God. You're not letting snakes come into the pulpit. You're not letting Jezebel spirits creep into the church. You're working hard. You're continuing to teach the doctrine that the apostles have taught. But there is a lack of a love relationship with God. In other words, the church at Ephesus had grown cold toward Christ. Now, Jesus said, even though you have gone and you have messed up in this area of your life, there is a solution. And understand that whenever we displease God, whenever we mess up, whenever we are not where God would have us to be, there's always a remedy. And the remedy for the church at Ephesus, the remedy for us as God's people today, is the same remedy, that we have to repent and we have to acknowledge our mistakes and we have to get back to God. Now here it says, he said in verse 5, Jesus tells them, now remember therefore from where you have fallen, remember how you used to love God. Repent and do the first works. In other words, let's start this thing over. Let's repent. Let's get back to where we're supposed to be. Let's repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. The church has to repent. The church has to tell God, Lord, we are sorry and we mean it. We're not to just simply feel sorry. And a lot of times people mistake this idea of repentance as well. I just feel sad. I'm sorry from what I've done. And Lord, forgive me. And that's the end of it. But to repent actually means you become sorry, but you make a conscious decision to do better. In other words, you make a conscious decision. Let me stop what I'm doing. Let me change my lifestyle. Let me make a change so that I don't fall back into this lifestyle, so that I don't fall back into this way of doing things, so that I don't fall back what got me messed up and what got me separated from God in the first place. And so Jesus tells the church to repent. If you don't repent, he says, well, I'll come and I'll remove your lampstand. In other words, I'll come and I will take that place of honor that you have and I will give it to another. And he said, but this you do have, that you hate the deed of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And the church is supposed to have this type of spirit, that we love what God loves and we hate what God hates. And he said that here that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Well, who are the Nicolaitans? Nicolaitans, they were followers of Nicholas. And he was one of the first who were ordained by the apostles. But Nicholas wasn't one to follow God as the way the others followed God. These Nicolaitans, they begin to practice adultery. They practice immoral sex. They would take the things that were sacrificed to gods, and they would idols rather, and they would eat these things, and they would just become hypocrites. And their lives did not measure up to what a true child of God's life was supposed to be. It's sort of like you have these preachers today who think nothing of cursing, who think nothing of running through women, who think nothing of getting married, divorce, and spouse is still alive and remarry again. Have the wife, the ex-wife, and the former ex-wife all in the same congregation. And so the Nicolaitans just began to do what they wanted to do rather than living according to the word of God. And God hates sin, and God wants his people to hate sin. But if we don't hate sin, we're going to turn around and love sin. Jesus said that no man can serve two masters, because he's going to either love one and hate the other. So he said you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and sin. Because if you do, you're going to put one on the back burner and give more credence to one than the other. And when you try to serve God and try to serve sin, we end up giving more credence to sin rather than giving more credence to God. As we close, Jesus says here in verse 7, he that has an ear, who has spiritual hearing, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So Jesus gives a promise. And this promise is to the church. If we would abide in God, if we would do those things which the Lord has commanded us to do, we in turn will be truly blessed by God. And we look, as we go forth in our study of these seven churches, we'll continue to see some things that relate to us here in the 21st century. And what the Lord was showing them, as he tries to show us, that there are some good things we are doing, but also there are some things that can be done much better. God wants to save the world, even though he realizes that the world will not be saved. He wants the church to flourish. He wants righteousness exalted, and it has to start with us. God sees all of our works. We can hide things from the congregation. We can hide things from society, but there's nothing that we can hide from God. Jesus said, I know your works. He knows our good works. He knows our evil deeds. And so it's up to us to live the life that God would have us to live. Thank you, and join me next week at 7:30 p.m. next Wednesday night. And next Wednesday night, we'll look at the Church of Smyrna. Again, I ask that you pray for my wife's family, pray for the New Birth Church, and I invite you to come and to worship with us Sunday morning beginning at 10 o'clock, 6424 Benjamintown Road, New Birth Ministries. Also on the third Sunday, We will have dedication and consecration of the children. Bring your children so that I can lay hands on them, so that I can pray for them, and we're going to consecrate them to the Lord. Thank you. Have a blessed night, and I will see you next week at 7:30 p.m. God bless you, and God keep you.